shepherd's candle. Also, it represents joy. And so I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, waiting, watching over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So we're reminded this morning that God sent his angels to proclaim the arrival of his Son. And the shepherds were considered a lowly position within their community, but God chose to send his angels to them and to announce the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to spread the good news that the Messiah had arrived. And so this morning, our focus is on joy. So welcome, welcome. It's good to see everyone. And we're going to get right into the Word of God this morning. I really sense the presence of the Lord in this place this morning, that he's moving in our hearts, that he's ministering already to his people. So, Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for all that have gathered today, Lord, to lift up your name, to glorify you, to praise you, and to hear the word of the Lord this morning. Bless the church across America. Bless the church across the world, Lord, as we gather in to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. And we thank you, Lord, for your revelation to be imparted into our hearts today, in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you were able to get your outline. It's on the website. And also, if your email address is in our office, you should have received a copy of our outline this morning. And the title of it is The Source of Joy. And so we're going to begin by reading from Luke 1, 41 to 45. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, and you're welcome to read with me. I like to hear you read with me. So when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. And so this morning we see that when she heard the voice of Mary, Elizabeth said the baby that she was carrying leaped inside of her womb, and he leaped for joy. Joy means to leap, especially for joy, to be exceeding glad, with exceeding joy, to rejoice greatly. So Jesus and John were both in the womb, but there was a connection. And that connection brought joy, not only to the baby in the womb, but we see that Elizabeth got filled with the Holy Spirit when they met. And so, you know, Elizabeth was Mary's aunt, and so they had a relationship. They knew each other. And in the midst of all of that, there was something supernatural that was added, and that is the joy of the Lord, because Jesus Christ was in her womb. And so you might wonder, how much does a baby realize when you're carrying it? Well, we see from the scripture, It's obviously the baby is sensitive to everything that's going on around them. So what do we see? We see the unseen Holy Spirit is always at work fulfilling God's plan and purpose. This isn't on your PowerPoint, but this is something that we need to remember. It's fundamental to our truth that we're a joyful people. In Romans 14:17, the scripture says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." So one of the basic fundamentals of Christians is that we should be a joyful people. We are a joyful people. Jesus resides in us. Let's go on and see what John says. John 15:11-13, if you'd like to read it with me this morning. "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." So Jesus is talking about his joy remaining in us and our joy being full. Biblical joy is about relationship. Jesus said, "The Father loves me, and I love you." And then he gives us this invitation to come and abide in his love. Then he tells us how to do that. If you're wondering how you abide in God's love, Jesus was pretty clear. He said, "Keep my commandments." In other words, study my word. Take the word that I'm leaving and put it on the inside of you. How do we do that? We do that by reading, by meditating, by talking to God about his word, by talking to other Christians about the word of God. Come and abide. Keep my commandments. And Jesus lets us know that he abides in his Father's love. He reiterates that. This is how I abide in my Father's love. I abide in my Father's love by keeping his commandments. If you remember in John, John, I think it's 5:19, Jesus was talking about, "I only say what my Father says, and I only do what my Father does." And so Jesus had a relationship with his Father. And Jesus came into the earth to give us an opportunity to have a relationship with him. And when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you receive joy. Because joy is relational. And when we follow his commandments, when we follow the word of God, that joy remains in us. Let's go on. Jesus told us all of these things so that his joy would stay in us, so that his joy would be full. Abide in my love. And once again, the way we abide in his love is by keeping his commandments. Then we're full of joy. Full means to be abundantly supplied or provided, filled. It means to be stuffed or crammed. And in the dictionary, it refers to being gorged with food and drink, That's the kind of full it is. All of us can identify to being full. We just, you know, had Thanksgiving not that long ago. That's the kind of full that God has for us, full of joy. And the word of God is what fills us up. The scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, how do we taste the Lord? We taste by eating the word of God. We're feeding our spiritual man God's word. We taste and see God's word is good. His promises are true. His word will soothe us. His word will bring peace to our minds. His word will heal us. Jesus sent the word and healed their disease. There's power in the word of God. So my main focus this morning is for us to get the aspect that when the Bible talks about joy, it is referring to relationship. Joy is relational. And for joy to remain in a person, think about it, we have to absorb something. When you're around another person, you take in something from that person. That's why it's so important not to hang out with toxic people. Because you'll be taking in that negativity. So when we're with someone, we absorb that. And I was thinking about that this week because, you know, when you're with someone you love, there's this connection that happens. It's difficult to explain with words, but you take that person in. And whether that person's with you or not, you have that in you. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's kind of hard to explain, but when you're with someone, you take in what they're giving to you when you're connecting with them. It's this. I've heard people explain it like it's this magical thing that happens. And I'm not real big on that term magical, but I would say it is something that supernaturally happens when you're with someone who is delighted to be with you. There is something about being with someone that wants to be with you. And actually, neuroscience is proving that. We can see how small babies and children, they're always looking for this connection. A relational connection is eye to eye. And that's, you know, when you think about how often you're with someone and are you on your phone, are you with them? Relating, connecting. You know, your parents pass away. It's my mom is gone, but she is with me. She's with me. And that's probably the best way to explain what happens when you're really in relationship. There is something that's deposited in you. Dr. Jim Wilder is a neuroscience as well as a theologian. And I was reading some of his work, and we studied this many years ago. Some of you may remember studying Joy Starts Here, and he studies all kinds of studies on joy and what happens in our brain when we're receiving that joy. And they're able to do that now with imaging, and they have, science has come so far, and what we're finding is that it continues to confirm what the Bible has said all along. But we know from Scripture that we are designed for relationship. God is a relational God. We're created in His image, and we are designed for relationship. And as the people of God, we should learn how to be relational. And relationship is intentional. You have to be relational, intentional about building relationship. And what Dr. Wilder has found in his brain studies is that when you are intentional, you can build joy. And the joy comes when you're in relationship and someone is delighted, they're happy to be with you. You all know what it feels like when someone is glad to see you, right? I would hope you know what that feels like. Someone is happy that you are there. It's a joy that comes into your heart. It's you're accepted. And so there's a way to build relational relationships and be intentional about it. And that's what they have done for over 50 years in this particular ministry. It's called the Life Model, and it's about building relationship and helping people mature in Christ. And it's very, very good stuff. But joy shows up in brain scans when we're with someone and they're glad to be with us. It's about being delighted to be with one another. And this is why Jesus wanted to be with us. And when you start reading the scripture from the aspect that joy is relational, and the Bible is full of relationships. It is all about relationships from the very beginning to the very end. And the importance of Jesus wanted to come and be with us, so that His joy could be given to us and it would remain. This is why we gather together as Christians. It's a wonderful time when the people of God gather. And this is why Jesus gathers with us. In the midst of everything that goes on, Jesus is still happy to be with us, even in our weaknesses. And it's important for us to realize we are not perfect. We have faults. We have failures. But in the midst of all of that, Jesus, our Heavenly Father, is still with us. And He's delighted to be with us. He doesn't push us to the side because we stumbled and fell. But He is always there when we ask for forgiveness, and He helps us get back up and we keep going again. Realizing that God's glad to be with us in our weakness helps us grow our relationship capacity. I'm sure you'll identify with the feeling when you don't want to be around some people. You see a person and you know that dread that comes on in the inside of you. I don't want to be around them. I don't want to talk to them. If you're in the mall or in the store, you have the opportunity to take off and go down another aisle. Sometimes you meet face to face, but do you know what I'm talking about? That, have you ever felt that feeling? Okay. We're people, right? Now, when you think about that, God never feels that way towards us. Like, oh no, here they come. I can remember my mom saying that about some people. Oh, no. Or she'd get a phone call, you know, from someone. Oh. But then she would, hello, put it on, you know. God doesn't put it on. God is genuine. And we need his help to get to that place where we can be genuine and learn how to be in a situation and still be relational. That's maturity, isn't it? And it's interesting because the brain studies show that your brain has already made the decision whether or not you're going to be happy or delighted to see that person before you can consciously make that decision. So when people say, I'm just going to choose joy, well, it doesn't quite work like that because our brain is already one step ahead of us before we consciously decide that. So building joy into our life means being intentional and recognizing when we don't want to be with someone and find out why don't we want to be with that person. Is that a hurt and a wound that we have on the inside of us that needs to be healed? Is there an area of my life where I need to mature? Am I holding something against that person? Why is it that I want to push that person away instead of receive them as a brother or sister in Christ, because we know God is receiving them? So who are we to pick and choose? Jesus said, you are my friends. John 15:14-17, let's read that. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And I appointed you that we would bear fruit and the fruit would remain. And when you think about your special relationships, whether the person is dead or alive, there is fruit that remains in your life because that person was in your life. And so recognizing our relationships are eternal. And the value that God puts on them, because they are eternal. There is fruit that will remain in another person because you were in their presence and you were delighted to be with them and you were there to mourn with them when they mourn. You were there to laugh with them when they laughed. You were there to be a helping hand when they needed that. You were there to pray. You're there to be a friend, a friend. No greater love has anyone than to lay down his life for his friend. And so we see how that connection is eternal and valued by God and should be valued by us as we go through this life. God appointed us. He chose us, he appointed us. To appoint is to place, to make, to ordain, to purpose, to put, to set. He appointed us. And what did he appoint us for? Well, he appointed us for good works. The scripture is clear about that. And it even says that he prepared them in advance. We are anointed. And we are appointed by God. Let's look at the last scripture. Face to face. 2 John 1:12. Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. Joy is relational. He wanted to come to them so they could be face to face. And it's a struggle during this time of COVID. You know, now I've heard that they have asked, the WHO has asked, that you don't hug people during the holidays. And it is difficult not being face to face in relationship, being there in person. There is something about gathering in person. And over the years, it just seems like families have been separated, pulled apart, and they don't meet like they used to meet. You know, how many of you remember the big family reunions? Trying to gather everyone up is like trying to gather up a herd of cats. You know, it's difficult to get people together. But it just shows us how important it is that we don't give up. Jesus said, do not give up meeting together. That is a command in the New Testament to the church, to the people of God. Do not give up meeting together. And we're supposed to meet together even more as we see the day approaching. And we see that day approaching, and we cannot afford to be separated. We need one another to gather together. And even if we can't get close, we can have eye contact. There's something about that face-to-face encounter that the scripture says that our joy may be full. So God takes joy seriously. He wants us to have joy, but He does lay out the guidelines for joy. I was thinking about this because I remembered back in Deuteronomy, God turned His people over to their enemies because they didn't joyfully serve Him. Deuteronomy 28:47. Look it up and read it. They did not joyfully serve God, so He turned them over to their enemies. God takes joy seriously, which tells me He is serious about having a relationship with you, because it is only in relationship that the joy is going to be imparted. It's going to remain, and we will be full of joy. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your joy. In Nehemiah, when they were working on the wall, He said, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to them who are weak, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. We receive strength by being in relationship with God and one another. There's nothing like talking with the people of God and meeting. And we meet every night on Zoom at 8 o'clock, and we pray for our nation. We've been praying for America. We've been praying that God's will be fulfilled in this earth, in America. We will settle for nothing less than God's will coming forward. And you know, we're not just going to say, que sera, sera. What will be, will be. We're taking part. We're taking our stand. We're taking that position with the Lord and praying for His kingdom to come and His will to be done, and for any evil to be exposed. Because when the light comes in, it uncovers the enemy and the darkness, and it is exposed. And so we desire to relate to one another. It takes an effort. Those of you that have been on for days know what I'm talking about. And I think I think she has the days counted out that we've met. It's a lot of days. because we were praying up to the election, and I felt like the Lord said, oh no, we won't stop praying at the election. We're going to have more things to pray about as we move through. And actually, God never releases the church, the ecclesia, from their prayer assignment, because we are the ruling instrument in the earth today, and we rule in the spirit realm. So God has troops on the ground that are positioned for the battle, and he has his airmen who are the ecclesia that are praying into the airwaves and into the spiritual atmosphere. This is how the kingdom of heaven comes to earth. It comes through prayer and fasting. Derek Prince wrote a book on shaping the world with prayer and fasting. I believe, Elder Sylvia, you've studied that book. Haven't you studied that? Yeah, we've read that book. We've studied that book, but Elder Sylvia, God really put it in her heart. I think it was just last year to get that book back out and really start seeing what Derek Prince had to say about that. He's an excellent Bible teacher. If you're wondering who you should listen to, you can listen to Derek Prince. He teaches the Word. And you know, he's dead and gone, but his legacy and his teachings, they are so relevant to today. It is just amazing. And once again, there you go. Get in the Word that your joy will be full. The Word is eternal. Our relationships are eternal. And we desire to have a view of what is eternal. Because the kingdom of God is eternal. God's government has no end. And by the way, you didn't get to vote, so there's not even a chance of voter fraud. Just saying. But we are part of an eternal kingdom. And it's a kingdom of peace, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's where we want to live. That's how we want to learn to relate to each other. That we have a little bit of heaven right here on earth in our relationships. Joy is relational. Remember, John the Baptist jumped in his mom's womb. Do you just wonder, ladies that have carried babies, what that was like? I mean, we felt babies jump, but when the power of God hits a baby, you wonder what kind of jump that was. Was probably pretty evident for mom. Hallelujah. But the joy of the Lord will cause us to leap for joy. It lifts us up when we have the joy of the Lord. You can make it through anything if you have the joy of the Lord. Joy of the Lord is not contingent upon our circumstances, our situation, on what's going on in our government, what's going on in the world. If there's riots, that does not determine the joy that we have in the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we have him to hold on to as our solid rock and our salvation. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for this word that's gone forth. I pray, Lord, that you continue to water this seed and you continue to grow us, Lord, in a deeper understanding of joy and relationships and how your kingdom works within our church life, within our family lives, God. I just pray, Lord God, that you release your peace and joy to every person here this morning, and those who are listening, Lord, let them be filled with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.